like I said, I was strongly tempted to read it, but it's a long, long read. Not really a lot of time for anything serious, but do bear in mind, of course, that this being the season, the Republican Party, which was fond of complaining of the Democrats wasting legislative time, has introduced a new resolution in Congress. It's beautiful to see them doing the people's business. Whereas Christmas is a national holiday celebrated on December 25th, and whereas the framers intended that the First Amendment of the Constitution in prohibiting the establishment of religion would not prohibit any mention of religion or reference to God in civic dialogue, now therefore be it resolved that the House of Representatives recognizes the importance of the symbols and traditions of Christmas, strongly disapproves of attempts to ban references to Christmas, and 3, expresses support for the use of these symbols and traditions by those who celebrate Christmas. Isn't that just charming? Oddly enough, somehow or another, they managed to draft their resolution without mentioning Jesus! Why can't they put Jesus' birth in their Christmas resolution? Why do they hate baby Jesus? Morons. Just morons. There's your Republican Party. 19 Republican members have introduced and co-sponsored that important piece of legislation honoring Christmas. Interestingly, nowhere in their resolution does it mention the fact that the First Amendment would also appear to prohibit attacks on trees of knowledge. Nope. It's a Christian nation. Not going to have nothing that ain't Christian. Morons. Morons, oh plenty. So that'll be it for tonight. Thank you so much for joining in. Thank you for sharing in the many and varied ways that you do. Thank you for your ongoing contributions. Thank you to those two of you who recently purchased a copy of For the Love of West Virginia. I have forwarded the information, and you should be receiving yours shortly. We really, really appreciate it. There are a few left, and you are more than welcome to click that link on the website and get your own signed and numbered print. You will be so glad you did. We are struggling to make it to the end of December. That's a fact. Thanks to those two orders and a couple of kind contributions, we're now up a little past $600 for the month of December, here on the 9th of December. Sort of on track, but not really, if you consider the hole that we were in from November. We can always use your help. I hate to even ask, but we can. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. You know now why I call them that. And you know that it's not fawning or hyperbole. It's very, very real. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Cussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! We are here hanging on to an electrical thread, so to speak. We've got some wind blowing through the hills and hollers of the Appalachians this evening. And the power has gone off several times, making all of our uninterruptible power supplies beep in their discordant strains. But we're going to try to get a show out there. You know, we, you, me, listeners, callers, chatters, emailers, idea thinkers, we're going to try to get a show out there this evening. But I can only say that that comes with a caveat insofar as it's all dependent on the ability of Appalachian Power to continue delivering electricity. Because, after all, coal keeps the lights on, but only if the wind isn't blowing. Because if the wind is blowing, coal is apparently powerless. But of course, every time the power goes out, there's some little bean counter at Appalachian Power who puts a little tick next to a little box saying, further proof that we need to raise rates with a massive rate increase. Pushed through the entirely too pliable Public Service Commission. So, you know, just so you'll know, if everything goes away and the next thing you know you're hearing classical music, well, you'll know what happened. I'll kind of know what happened first because everything will go down, the uninterruptible power supplies will kick in, and I will then know that I have about 2 minutes to tell you all good night. So that's where we are. But. We're not going to let that hang like some sort of disabled power grid sort of Damocles over our heads. Oh, no. Because this is a special evening. It's not just the 9th of December, 2009. It isn't simply Wednesday. It's not just hump day, not just downhill to Friday. No, brethren and sistren, it is prayer meeting Wednesday. Hallelujah, glory. Yes. Ram eating on the horn. Mr. Choirmaster, would you please get us started?
Ladies and gentlemen, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, let me hear you say, Amen.
Amen.
Let me hear you say, Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Let me hear you say, I will empty the contents of my wallet into that little collection plate when it comes around. And it's all tax-free. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Praise the Lord for all the cash I've got. Praise Him for my Rolls Royce and my yacht. Serving God ain't hard with a credit card. Jesus died so I could make a lot. Praise the Lord, He's made us millionaires. Wave your donations in the air. We've replaced our hymns with ATMs, and soon we'll charge a fee on every prayer. Jesus Christ was a poor man, don't you know? He should have used our accountants for his cash flow. It's not the Sermon on the Mount, he should have had a bank account. 2,000 years with interest, he'd be rolling in the dough. Praise the Lord, this song's out on CD, just $40.95 plus GST. Hallelujah, plenty of moolah, solid gold baubles on my Christmas tree. I've got all of heaven's riches, thanks to all you stupid bitches. Praise the Lord for modern Christianity. Yeah. Whoever said religion should be free.
Ooh-ee, ooh-ah, ting-tang, walla-walla-bing-bang. Mersey dotes and dozy dotes and little lambsy divey, I love you. Welcome, brethren and sistren, to this prayer meeting Wednesday. We haven't had a good prayer meeting in a while. And I am so glad. I am filled with the Spirit, with reason. I am filled to overflowing. My cup runneth over with common sense. Hallelujah, glory. Come on down that blood-red carpet. And fall on your knees right there at the altar here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, brethren and sisters. Lay your hands upon the subwoofer and feel the healing rays of reason flowing through you. Glory all the way from the mainframe server of cognition. Yes, hallelujah. Amen and amen. We have an abundance. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. We have an abundance of stories for you this evening. Stories of fine, upstanding followers of the Prince of Peace. Like Jennifer Stitzel. She's 34 years old. Glory. And she teaches at Central Valley Christian School in Tangent, Oregon. She's a preschool teacher. She reaches out to the tender shoots, the young and impressionable minds of little children sent for a Christian education in a Christian, Christ-centered, Bible-believing, hallelujah. Bible-believing atmosphere of cleanliness and wholesomeness and decency and family values, traditional family values, glory, glory, glory. And she was so taken with her traditional family values that, yea, verily, in fact, she started having some traditional family values with a 14-year-old boy right there on school grounds at Central Valley Christian School in Tangent, Oregon. Oh, she was pressing her family values agenda against a young man. She was sending him explicit, sexually explicit, and yet somehow holy text messages to the young man. The young man is in the 8th grade, glory. And Jennifer Stitzel, who in her mugshot wears a pink tie-dyed T-shirt with the word trust emblazoned across it. And why would you not trust her? Jennifer Stitzel. Already has one traditional family values marriage to her credit. She's in the midst of it right now, even while she was sending the kinky little text messages to the 8th grade young man of whom she is now accused of having sexually abused in the 3rd degree to the tune of 2 counts. Glory, glory. Thank God we are a Christian nation. And you know, anyone who wants to lead the Christian life, of course, should always pay attention to the pronouncements coming out of that bastion of holiness in Rome. Yes, I told you a couple of nights ago, brethren and sistren, I did. I jumped the gun. But I told you about Cardinal Barragan declaring that there won't be no gay folks in the heaven up there with Jerry Falwell and all the dead saints and all the dead popes and Richard Nixon and Adolf Hitler and all them other fine people who are forgiven and just living in the bosom of Jesus? Won't be no gay folks there. Well, you know what else won't be going on in heaven? Movie watching. At least not certain movies. No, sir. No. And that is the latest from Monsignor Perazzolo. Monsignor Perazzolo. Monsignor Franco Perazzolo is with the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Culture, and he issued a stinging condemnation of that new demonic, devil-infested film, New Moon. Why, you can just tell it's devilish just from the word moon in the title. Yes, indeedy. That's that new vampire movie. And, of course, the Catholic Church still believes in vampires and werewolves and pixies and elves and things like that. Robin the Bat Boy from Weekly World News. Yeah, no kidding. Monsignor Perazzolo has said that the film was an explosive mix. And he said that that mix was of good-looking young actors, men and women and so forth, and that they're all involved in supernatural activities. And, of course, he doesn't like the fact that it's about vampires, and he says it's got all kinds of demonic influences and occult imagery in it, and he says the New Moon has a moral void more dangerous than any deviant message. Get that. If they were good Christians rolling on the ground and biting each other on the neck and just having all kinds of sex all over creation, long as they weren't using no condoms nor her taking no pills, it could be Christian sex. But since there's vampires involved, you know, imaginary creatures, it's a moral void more dangerous than any deviant message. Does anybody take the Vatican seriously anymore? I'm just wondering. This isn't anti-Catholic. This is anti-idiot. Because Monsignor, I would have no problem, you know, dial up the phone at Monsignor Franco Perazzolo. The number is 877-443-2366. Locally, it's 304-658-3333. Hell, we'll pay the freight. You use the toll-free line, Monsignor Perazzolo. Can you imagine trying to carry on a conversation with a clown like that? Tell me more about the demons and the deviants, Monsignor. Yeah, this comes on, of course, you know, there's nothing new here. This is, of course, a morally dead, spiritually and ethically bankrupt organization that has spent apparently so much time seducing little boys that it's forgotten the mission of, you know, that barefooted Palestinian day laborer named Yeshua that they profess to worship. Because you got to remember back before he ascended to the see of St. Peter and was merely a humble cardinal. Yeah, humble. a humble cardinal who had manned an anti-aircraft gun and been a member of the Hitler Youth. But a humble cardinal nonetheless. The former Pope Benedict, who back then was Cardinal Ratzinger, he said that the Harry Potter series, J.K. Rowling's books, involved what he called a subtle seduction which has deeply unnoticed and direct effects in undermining the very soul of Christianity before it can really grow properly. Clink! No, I didn't say the clink part. Yeah, the church is, they've been having hissies about Halloween lately. A dangerous celebration of horror and the macabre. They're going to have a real problem. There is no place more Catholic than Mexico, I don't think. And they're going to have a real problem with the Day of the Dead whenever they find out about that. You know, November the 1st. What is that? Dia de los Muertos? And isn't that where Jose Greco's Los Muertos, Flamenco Dancers of Death, isn't that where that comes? No, I don't know. Yeah. So if you want to make sure that your children aren't just absolutely wrought up in apostasy, by all means, keep them the hell away from New Moon. Then again, for that matter, if you want to make sure that your children, your grandchildren, or you yourself are not subjected to really lousy filmmaking, stay the hell away from New Moon. Thank God the kids aren't around. I probably would, they'd probably make me sleep outside for saying that because, oh mercy. We got some serious Twilight reading going on around here. I mean, we were Harry Potter readers and now they've moved on to the books of Charlaine Harris, upon which that HBO series True Blood are based. God knows if Monsignor Pierzolo was to see True Blood, he'd probably faint right dead away in his cassock, whatever a cassock is. Yeah. There is nothing like watching 2,000-year-old superstition be put on display here at the very ass end of the first decade of the 21st century. Do you realize that? The first decade of the 21st century is only days away from ending. It doesn't end in, it ends with January 1st, 2010. We're a decade in. We're a decade into that marvelous dawning, new millennium that was gonna bring frisbees and wheat checks and the aliens were gonna be friendly and we'd finally learn all about where all those green women were that Jim Kirk was chasing around the universe, but sorry, not so much, not yet. No, we know it's not yet, and especially not in this country, because of a little something in Westchester, Pennsylvania. You know how in the Bible God, for reasons known only to God, tells newly created Adam and Eve in the ultimate... sort of the ultimate screw job of all time. Hey, look, Adam, made you and Eve some great little blueberries. Try the blueberries. They're delicious. And watch the thorns and everything. Oh, wait, you're perfect. There's no thorns yet. The raspberries don't have thorns. Wade right in and there's no copperhead. Oh, shoot, there's copperheads and they talk. Don't pay attention to the talking copperheads. Just stay away from them. And the raspberries are delicious, too. And over there we got grapes. And there's no sin in the world yet, so there's no yeast on the grapes, so they won't turn into wine, and you can just eat the grapes, and they're wonderful. And I got pears, and I got damson plums, and I got oranges, and tangerines. Look over there. Look at the honeydew melons. Oh, I'm telling you, the honeydew melons. Adam, Eve, you are going to love the honeydew melons. They are so sweet, so succulent. And we got some kale greens growing over here. They're going to provide you potassium. What's potassium? Never mind, you're a caveman. Somebody will figure it out. But eat them, okay? Just eat them. And we got peaches. Oh, mercy. We got gooseberries, huckleberries. Oh, we got all kinds of good, tasty things. See those bees over there flying? Yeah, those are bees, Adam. Okay. You called them bees. It's your idea. Very good. God, they, mercy me, they do start early, don't they? Yes, they do. Okay, so he's going to call them bees. Well, you see that tree that they're, right, they've got honey in there. Wait till you taste the honey. Yes, and over there there's a goat, and see how its udder is all full? It's got milk in it? Yeah, milk and honey. This is a land of milk and honey. It's perfect. It's wonderful, this land. You're going to love it. I have made this entire paradise just for you. You'll never get sick. You'll never grow old. You'll never die. Everything is absolutely to teetotal perfection, Adam, Eve. It's perfect. But remember that talking copperhead I told you about? I only found out after I made them. They're the gossipiest doggone things you're ever going to... Just ignore them. And see that tree over there? Now, we've seen all the little berry bushes and vines and stuff, and the little fruit trees. And stuff. You see that really, really big tree that sticks out like a sore thumb? Don't ask me what a sore thumb is, Adam. This is a sinless world, and you'll never have one, but trust me, when you've got one, it sticks out. You see that big tree over there? The really, really big one, the biggest one in the whole blessed garden. You see that one, Adam? You see it, Eve? I mean, it just screams out to you, doesn't it? Just calls right out to you. It just makes you want to come up and inspect it, doesn't it? Because it's so big and I made it that way. Well, Adam, Eve, don't go anywhere near that tree. I know it's the coolest looking tree in the garden. I know the fruit that is hanging from it looks absolutely, it just makes all the blueberries and the raspberries and the blackberries and the damson plums just pale by comparison. Don't go near it. Leave it alone. And pay no attention to the talking snake. Wow, what a psychological screw job that was. Can you imagine trying to... Can you imagine... I mean... Everybody. Don't think about George Bush right now. 4, 3, 2, 1. You've got his stinking little voice and his stupid little face plastered all over the inside of your skull right now, don't you? You can't help it. But, Dad, don't pay any attention to that tree over there. Because that there is the tree of knowledge, of good and evil. And now, kids, seriously, Daddy's talking here. If you eat from the fruit of that tree, I am going to open a can of metaphysical whoop-ass on you that you are going to be forever getting over, and your descendants. And there's going to be things involving pestering somebody's heel or something. Leave that one alone. I'm telling you. Don't touch that one. I know it's beautiful. Don't touch it. That, of course, was the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil. Right? Right. Well, in Westchester, Pennsylvania, they have a little something. They've got a holiday display there in front of the courthouse, the Chester County Courthouse. The county seat of Chester County, Pennsylvania, is Westchester. I don't know if there's an East Chester or not. And by the way, you know where Chester comes from? That is a bastardization of the old Latin word. Castra, meaning camp, to pitch camp in Latin is castra pono, pono being to put. So every time you see Chester or Castor, like, you know, Winchester, Lancaster, that kind of stuff, it's all a reference to an old military camp. I'm sure they didn't know that by the time they got to Pennsylvania. But that's where it comes from. That's all those English names that in Castor or Chester, it's all camp. Just places where the Romans decided to, pitch camp and quit for the night. But anyway, there's a holiday display in front of the county courthouse in Westchester, Pennsylvania. You know, there's a little crash. There's a Christmas tree. I don't know if there's a Hanukkah bush or not. But for a few years now, the Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia... Now, we'll leave the Greater Philadelphia part for W.C. Fields to handle. I'm just not up for it tonight. The Free Thought Society of Greater Philadelphia puts up a tree every year. It's an evergreen. And they decorate it with laminated book covers of all sorts. And one of them is always the Bible. And it is the tree of knowledge. I think it would probably fit right in, right over to the, right over to the left of the altar here in the Cathedral of Common Sense. Let's see. Let me see if I can get this thing to come up real quick. Give you an idea of the book titles that are on the tree of knowledge there in Westchester, Pennsylvania. the Christ conspiracy, the greatest story ever sold, why the religious right is wrong about separation of church and state. The fourth R, consciousness explained, breaking the spell, freedom evolves, Darwin's dangerous idea, the conscious mind, Alan Dershowitz is finding Jefferson, Robert Todd Carroll's The Skeptic's Dictionary, Richard Carrier's Sense and Goodness Without God, Robert S. Alley's The Constitution and Religion, Norm R. Allen, Jr., editor, African-American Humanism, Louise M. Anthony, Philosophers Without Gods, Marcus Tullius Cicero, The Nature of the Gods and On Divination. I mean, this thing gets around. The Bible, like I said, is there. Will Durant's Story of Philosophy is there. Bart Ehrman's Misquoting Jesus is on the tree. Brilliant book. Brilliant man. Let's see, who else is there? Jane Catherine Conrad's The Pillars of Religion, Ignorance, Indoctrination, and Inadequacy. Joseph Dan's Kabbalah is on the tree. The Origin of the Species by Charles Darwin's on the tree. Richard Dawkins is on the tree. Ambrose Bierce's The Collected Writings Of is on the tree. Thomas Jefferson, Light and Liberty, Reflections on the Pursuit of Happiness. Lots of books. Christopher Hitchens is there. Stephen Jay Gould is there. If Mark Twain and Kurt Vonnegut aren't on there, I'm gonna be really upset with the Free Thinkers Society of Greater Philadelphia. Trying to find that out. Now I'm down into the R's. Gore Vidal, Live from Golgotha, is there. Carl Sagan's The Demon Haunted World and Billions are there. Come on. Mark Twain, come on. Letters from the Earth, Mark Twain, it's there. All right, now we've got to go back up. Oh, bad free thinkers, bad free thinkers. No Mark Twain, or no Kurt Vonnegut. But anyway, so the tree is there. And, so it has a right to be there. However, those followers of the Prince of Peace get really upset by the presence of the Tree of Knowledge there in Westchester, Pennsylvania. No, there's not a Hanukkah bush. There's a menorah. That's what would be appropriate. Absolutely. There's a menorah there. There is a creche. There's a Christmas tree. But the followers of the Prince of Peace claim that the inclusion of humanist values next to Jesus's creche is an attempt to get this, and this is their word, not mine, steal Christmas. No, really. Of course, this is the same crowd that believes in vampires. So, I guess that crowd could steal Christmas, yes. So, they made war on knowledge. Really, the irony is not lost on me. The fundamentalists made war, that's radical fundamentalists, made war on the Tree of Knowledge. These loving Christians over the last 2 years have repeatedly vandalized the Tree of Knowledge, and they have demonized it in the local newspapers and blogs. And this time through, they smartened up a little bit. Remember one of Field's commandments, never smarten up a chump. Well, the chumps got smart anyway. And so they tried to get new regulations in place in Westchester, Pennsylvania, to get the Tree of Knowledge. Is this just the single most freighted story you've ever... Does this just point right at fundamentalist Christianity and say, oh, man, you suck? Yeah, they have tried to use government to get the Tree of Knowledge banned from Westchester, Pennsylvania. to the point that the regulations were changed at the last minute so that the creche could get the first-come, first-served space preference, and now the tree of knowledge has to go to a less visible spot under the branch of a larger nearby tree. Because once upon a time, in previous years, the tree of knowledge was 18 feet tall, but the new regulation insists that it be cut down by 10 feet, and that the tree of knowledge cannot be taller than the tree of Christmas. Really. And so goes the war on Christmas, which it turns out isn't a war on Christmas at all, but is better described as a war on knowledge, a war on intelligence. A war on the human nature itself, as one might attempt to explain it or live it, absent superstition, hatred, bigotry, and all the other stuff that goes hand in hand with most of 2,000 years of so-called Christianity on the planet. Now, this in from Marty Bob. You realize that I feel a strong compulsion for making a video of followers of yours doing just what you've been saying earlier about falling down at the altar of common sense and touching the subwoofer. Don't touch nothing. I don't want no videos and no touching. Next thing you know, the radical fundamentalists of Westchester, Pennsylvania will be after us. Yeah. Oh, we are going to have a very fun, very busy little evening, I suspect. The stack I have is absolute. I think I could do a 6-hour show and not get to everything in the stack. Speaking of New Moon, the movie, Samantha Tumpak is 22 years old, and she's facing felony charges right now. She was at a surprise 29th birthday party for her sister, and she was filming the surprise party at the time that New Moon started, and she inadvertently filmed about 4 minutes of New Moon. And that's when the movie theater, where the party was being held, that's when the movie theater called the cops and had her hauled away. This would be the Movieco Theater in Rosemont, Illinois. And she has been charged under that felony that statute that makes it a felony handycam a film, and then it's later put up on the inner tubes or something. Yeah. I hope to God they weren't taped singing Happy Birthday, because then ASCAP and BMI will be on her, too. Yeesh. Yeah, Michael writes in, Kid A from the chat room, where's Father Guido Sarducci when you need him? I have a few pressing questions for the Monsignor. What is the Vatican's position on the children's film All Dogs Go to Heaven? Also, if a gay guy kills an orc that was about to eat a Christian, does that create a loophole for entry into heaven still apply for the aforementioned gay guy? Oh, dear me. Dear me. See, that's why we have to trust former anti-aircraft gunners and members of the Hitler Youth to interpret the real Christianity for us. Because those are naughty, 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 not naughty, not N-A-U-G-H-T-Y, but K-N-O-T-T-Y. Those are naughty questions for our metaphysical times, are they not? Yes, yes they are. Marty also noting that January the 1st, 2011, remember number sequences end with zero, not begins with it. I'll have to get Eugene Finnerman to chime in on this one. But yeah, 2000 was the end. Yeah, 2000 was the end of the 20th century. Okay, so I'm wrong. So we'll just clip that part of the show out in post-production before it goes up as an archive, okay? Thank God for you guys. I would be utterly and completely lost. And before we do move on, and I've got a phone call, I think, that I want to get to. I think I've got a phone call, not that I think I want to get to it. If it's a phone call, I want to get to it. You understand. It's prayer meeting. Coherence is not the strong suit here in the Cathedral of Common Sense on prayer meeting night. I just, you know. I want to offer some congratulations. In particular, I want to offer congratulations to our good friend and Netroots Nation 2009.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network. Listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you.
You're listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Fun to talk about than it is to watch.
Well, do please.
The phenomenon of zombie outrage is when you, everybody has had this. Everybody has had this relative at Thanksgiving. We've talked about the conservative brother-in-law. I think this is a universal phenomenon. That person that you know who refuses to accept any new information, or who just takes your new information and makes it part of the conspiracy, that is an outrage zombie. This is somebody who stalks the land, moaning, climate gate,
death panels.
They will be doing it forever.
You know, and the truth of that was borne out in my simple attempt to go down and get my evening's lottery tickets. I feel such an idiot every time I mention the lottery tickets. But hey, I live in a place that has one. You don't.
That's right.
Because Jesus doesn't want you to have one, Matt. And, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, he
wants us to have a $700 million hole in our state education budget is what he wants.
Yeah, Jesus does want $700 million holes in state education budgets in Alabama. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, why would you want anybody all edumacated? But anyway, I'm standing down there and I buy my lottery tickets and I always make some cute little remark about, well, I'm here to spend my dollar for my biweekly payment of my voluntary tax upon the stupid and credulous, namely me. And this outrage zombie standing next to me, an old guy with a face that looks like the surface of the moon, says,
well, if you win that thing, you better spend the money in a hurry, because Obama's going to make the dollar to where it ain't worth nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can go all day on monetary policy.
Oh yeah,
but weren't there about 8 years of bad paper being hung all over China?
Oh sure,
and
got a credit card marked Bank of China.
And was that, tell me, Matt, was that Barack Obama in a rubber George Bush mask fooling us all?
Well, what you fail to understand, Bob, is that history began on January 20th of this year.
Yes.
You see, there is no past. There is only the present.
Well, zombies are incapable of comprehending past or future. They live only in an outraged now, do they not?
Exactly. And it is an artificial outrage, because as you said, it's mountains turned into molehills. It's a word in scientific banter that gets misunderstood. It is all of these things. And zombie outrage returns to us in the Wingnutosphere. It is, again, the origin of the spread of new controversy. Something will come along in another couple of weeks. Some other new controversy will come along, propelled by the outrage zombie. That's the life cycle of controversy.
And it is the manipulation of the zombies that is
okay.
The entire raison d'être, so to speak, of the Coke, Koch, Cook, Jones gang.
Yes. That gang, which was behind all of the teabagging in August as well.
Well, I tell you what, before we wrap up or anything, I've got a funsie for you, Matt.
Ooh.
You might enjoy this. Those AstroTurf front group zombie manipulating non-traversy merchants, one of them is the Americans for Prosperity.
Yes.
AFP, which I always thought was Agence France-Presse, but, you know, silly me. Americans for Prosperity has a hot air tour going in Copenhagen, and they have hosted their own splinter conference.
Yeah.
And that was today. They held their conference today. to a lively crowd of 5 attendees. Now, I don't know how much a ticket to Copenhagen costs, but there were a bunch of them there, and one of them was, of course, Lord Christopher Monckton, who, every time I read his name, all I can see in my head is that classic Monty Python sketch of the upper-class Twit of the Year competition.
Yes.
But anyway, little groups of students sort of slowly filtered into the event. And I guess this is how you respond to zombies, and this is how you respond to a non-traversy. And they by the there were 50 of them and five deniers plus whoever was on the dais, and this is what happened.
Good evening here in Copenhagen. We have a great crowd of folks here in Copenhagen. And a terrific band of free market activists who are joining us. Copenhagen has been an eye-opener for me. I have to tell you, having never attended a United Nations-sponsored conference, I kind of hope this is my last one, I believe. But it's been an eye-opener for us. We could, across the country, really. And I'll tell you this. It's interesting to hear this.
Clean energy creates jobs.
Do not believe in free speech that should be on these people now. They are indeed the crazed Hitler youth. They know no climate science. They know nothing. You are listening now to the shouts in the background of the Hitler youth who have sprayed Polish Copenhagen with green slogans of childishness and pathetic.
That would have been Lord Christopher Monckton referring to those young people as Hitler Youth and calling them Nazis.
Ah, yes, right. Yeah. See, whenever you are in favor of not drowning half the world, then you are a Nazi, right?
Yeah, right. Because everybody knows that that was the principal platform plank at the beer hall putsch. Don't drown half the world.
Yes, drown half the world. That was definitely the whole point. We also know that Hitler was all about, you know, giving people health care,